He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday. It is the 12/11/23 edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only firm. We have a mixed open to the market so far. It depends on what you own, I guess. We're up a little bit here so far today. The Dow is up 37 points. That is a meager tenth of 1%. The Dow is at 36,285 as we're just 20 days now away from the end of the trading year. The NASDAQ is down 28 points today. That's 20 basis points, and the NASDAQ is now at 14,376. The S&P 500 is plus 2. So you got a pretty flat open here, hitting a lot of technical resistance right now. Wouldn't it surprise me to see the markets close about where they're at right now? The Russell 2000 is down 13 basis points. Crude oil is down 6 cents to 71.17 as stockpiles grow. Gold is down $12 per ounce to 2002. Silver is minus 14 cents. The 10-year's up 2 basis points to 4.27. And Bitcoin under big pressure right now, down 2013 to 41,828. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. I want to get into, as I wrote the newsletter Saturday morning, something really hit me hard about 2024 that we're going to have to really watch. You know, sometimes you run some numbers on something, and it's almost like, wow, that's incredible. I did not realize that. And we're going to go through those numbers in a minute. And I think it could be something to really watch in 2024. I had a little trouble with the technology sending out the newsletter this week, and I finally got it out this morning, all of it. There was a little issue there with Constant Contact over the weekend. That's the software we use to send out the newsletter. But everybody
they had an update or something. Didn't they? I kept getting some kind of alert from them. I don't know.
Man, I'll tell you what, it nearly drove me bonkers over the weekend. I finally got it out here this morning, but I got the subscription and client version out on Saturday afternoon.
I listened to an interview from Mike Wilson from Morgan Stanley this morning.
So
I need you to pick me up, Bill. I was hoping you were going to pick me up.
You know. Your pharmacist with some antidepressants is going to have. I don't know what it is with Morgan Stanley and J.P. Morgan, but all this doom. Maybe they found that over the years they get more people coming to them. You know, you can prey on people's fear, obviously. There's a lot of people that write newsletters that are always fearful and warning, and people tend to click on that kind of stuff. You know, look, I just try to be honest. Whatever I see, I'm going to tell you, whether it's fearful or whether it's gleeful. Well, we finished up the market pretty well on Friday. The Dow was up 130. We had a very good day on Friday. The NASDAQ was up 64. Basically on the good jobs report, decent jobs report, but a lot of it was strikes ending. The UAW and the screenwriters. We also had interest rates up 12 basis points on Fridays. That's going to be a key to watch here, obviously, in 2024. Interest rates are really impacting that multiple on the market. We have now 6 straight weeks in a row of wins for the S&P 500 and closing in on a high for the year. I'm just going to say that there's heavy resistance here at 4,600 on the S&P 500. Whether we can finish above that or not, Only time will tell, but I really don't see a lot of catalyst other than we could get a catalyst this week.
Yeah, we've got
Fed week.
Yeah, Fed week, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, we also get a CPI report, and we started one thing of note is we started the week with the S&P 500 at a 52-week high.
So. Yes. But
it didn't necessarily
hitting resistance.
Feel like it, but it has, yeah.
And don't forget the Grinch is lurking. I did watch Friday night with a couple of my grandkids. We watched how the Grinch stole Christmas. The Grinch in the market's case is Jerome Powell. Will he put on his Grinch costume and be a mean one? I don't think he will.
In the interview. Well, the trick is, too, we're going to get that, you know, we'll get the dot plot on Wednesday, which will be, you know, picked apart as it usually is. So that will be in, I think that, you know, that's the economic piece of the economic expectations that comes out every few Fed meetings. But, yeah, we'll see how he does it. We'll see how he does in the interview.
Yeah.
And, he knows where he's, he knows he's been the Grinch before. I'm pretty sure he's aware of that.
Like, 2019 or 18,
end of 18. Yeah.
The Dow was down 660 on Christmas Eve. I'm thinking, thanks. Okay. Thanks a lot. That was
May of 17. I'm trying to remember. I'll have to go back.
It was one of those. It was no fun. Now. Okay. What everybody's going to be listening for now, it's totally, the pendulum has swung. We're not going to be listening for any more rate hikes. Everybody's going to be keyed on is, when are we going to get a rate cut? It's always, the market's always complaining about something. And, you know, he's going to, I think, pretty much say, well, don't be looking for any rate cuts around the corner. That's what I think he'll say. And the market probably won't like it. So, anyways, we'll see. But this is Fed week. Oh, boy, I can hardly wait. Okay, now, I think the fly in the ointment for 2024, and the situation seems to be getting worse, is China. I mean, I had no idea. You know, when we come back from the first break, I'm going to give you a few statistics of how the Chinese market has done over the last 10 years. 10 years versus the U.S. market. You know, the growth in the China economy used to be a consistent 7-8% a year. Not anymore. I think COVID really upset the apple cart over there. But, I mean, you go back to 10 years ago, believe it or not, the Chinese market is down significantly, significantly over the last 10 years, while our market is up significantly. Now, it could be their policies, COVID, it could be the massive debt they've amassed in their real estate market. But I think it's a bigger problem. Why? Because problems in China could upset the entire global economy. And just from my perspective, watching the Chinese market trade from day to day, I just watch FXI. FXI is an ETF that tracks the large cap China stocks, which would be, you know, comparable to our S&P 500. And I've also watched on a daily basis, several of the big Chinese stocks, Tencent Holdings, Facebook, Alibaba, Baidu, etc. They just don't look very good. Other than PDD, that's about the only good-looking stock they have in their index right now. And, you know, I mean, look, China could impact the entire global economy. And, you know, business continues to turn away from China. I see a lot of business going to Vietnam now. In fact, NVIDIA is looking at Vietnam to possibly open up a foundry.
And India as well, yeah. And India's been ripping for most of 2023, I believe. So
I think, you know, as China goes in 2024, now they continue to say we're going to you know, get accommodative policy with our central bank. Will they? I mean, will that be enough to turn things around? They say they're going to do what they have to do to stimulate their economy. But when we come back, I'm going to give you a 10-year track record that'll blow your mind. I remember when the Chinese markets were the hottest markets in the world. When you had Alibaba sizzling and Tencent Holdings sizzling, and Baidu and PDD, etc., and just on and on and on. And now they're all struggling except for a few. So I worry. I think that's the biggest. And you know what? An article came out this morning after I wrote Friday's newsletter, Saturday morning, and it's someone that agrees with me, one of the big analysts out there, saying the same thing that I was prompted to write about on Saturday morning. We'll be right back and dig into this China story a little bit. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Okay, there's an article out this morning. Well, China had some news over the weekend. This is after I wrote the newsletter on Saturday. China worries over deflation. Deflation. When's the last time you heard that? I think Kathy Woods was about 2 or 3 years ago, just before inflation really blasted off. She was predicting deflation, but China actually has deflation. Worries over deflation deepen as consumer prices fall at the steepest pace in 3 years. Now, Barry, from a macro picture, as a country, as an economy, What is the issue with consumer prices?
Yeah,
PPI's fallen for 13 straight months now.
Yeah, the problem, the problem really with the deflation is almost, it's really a consumption downward spiral, because part of it is psychological. It's, why would I make this, especially big purchases, right? Of course, you've got to have your normal staples on a day-to-day, weekly basis. But when you're buying, say a bigger purchase, then, you wait a month and the price will be less, right? Let me wait another month and the price will be less.
That's
so
right.
You keep going and essentially you continue to put off those larger purchases, until you feel like the price is bottomed out. So it's a it's an issue, and so part of it, right, is how do you inflate prices again, right? The main thing that you're trying to do is boost consumption, right? And and so that piece, much more especially when folks are getting used to prices going down, it's hard to get folks to get back in purchasing. And the Chinese people have had a have already gone through some psychological issues in terms of COVID lockdown, right? There's a lot of underlying things to their recovery versus some recoveries, the other recoveries we've seen around the globe.
I wonder what their consumer sentiment numbers are like right now. They can't be very good. Well, here's just a couple statistics, all right? Believe it or not, over the last 12 months, while our S&P is up 16.2%, China's is down 15.9%. That is a huge difference, right? I mean, and it's hard for me to imagine them just turning around this kind of sinking economy on a dime, and it's hard for me to imagine a robust global economy with China going in the opposite direction.
Well, a couple weeks ago, I saw a story where they were, they're essentially telling, bankers and, say, analysts, right, that, from China, right, to essentially not to have any negative stories on the economy. So that tells you that there's a big big issue whenever You know, they really only want they only want to hear positive stories. You know, at least out of folks domiciled right inside of China. Could you imagine if we? If analyst reports were only on the positive side,
who's the worst team in the NFL this year? Who is it? Two or three wins?
Let's see.
What if you only mentioned when they won?
Carolina.
Okay. That's just across the border. Yeah. What if you only mentioned when they won? You wouldn't hear about them very much. But anyways, look, it's a problem. Now, here's the startling statistic that made me literally sit up in my chair and go, wow. That's an issue. That's not something that you can ignore. Over the last 10 years, okay, we're going back to 2013, our S&P is up 155%. China is down 23.6% over the last 10 years. That is just a that's a shocking difference. And then I put a chart up there. This is in the main article of the newsletter from Saturn. And you just have to wonder, this is going to impact big time, the rest of the economy, unless the global economy, unless China can turn their ship around. And I don't see any real catalyst on the horizon. I mean, what can they do at this point? They can cut their interest rates to zero, but they're going to have to go. I think they've tried. Haven't they been trying? I keep seeing these stimulus measures, right?
Right, and they have been. I mean, the silver lining, right, I guess, to a quote-unquote planned, economy, right, in terms of, communist, socialist-style economy is that you can – that transition mechanism, right? Theoretically should be sped up, right? Because they can, they don't got to push a bunch of things through Congress and this, municipalities, this and that. They can go out there and basically direct it pretty quickly. The problem is, even though they've been attempting to do that, it hasn't worked. So that silver lining could also create, more of a worry.
Well, that's one of my big predictions for next year. I think, we always say 2 years ago was obviously our Fed. That's why we backed off in 2021 and said, you can't own long-term bonds, you can't own long-term investments here because you're fighting the Fed, hiking interest rates, 75 basis points, four times more. This year, we didn't really see any issues other than lingering inflation, which that probably came true, but we were all in this year. Next year, right now, I'm seeing, as of right now, the big worry to me is the Chinese economy. Now, I'm not the only one. Okay, so here, Nuveen is out with their predictions for 2024. Nuveen's pretty good. The chief investment officer at Nuveen. They're mostly a bond house, a lot of municipal bonds. But, however, I have found them to be pretty reliable with their forecast. They're saying that the S&P is going to have a hard time crossing 4,600 next year. That's where we're at now. And they think it's likely to bounce to the downside in the early part of the year. Okay, well, that's Nuveen. That's just one analyst out there, they kind of are seeing this. I'm seeing this resistance level technically at 4,600. We're going to have record earnings next year unless China continues to sink. That's going to, you also have to look at the companies. If I were to pick two companies that are most vulnerable right now to a slow, number one is Apple, number two would be Tesla. And then I'm sure there's others. I'm sure you can go to AI, ChatGPT, and say which publicly traded companies, large publicly traded companies, have the most exposure to China. They're going to be the ones that are going to be hit the hardest. And the one that comes to my mind right off the bat, Apple sells a lot of iPhones in China.
Yeah, and it's twofold, right? It's one, one look on the revenue side where the revenue is generated, and look where they make their products.
Yeah, absolutely. And number two, Tesla's got the same problem, right?
Correct.
All right. When we come back, there's another indicator out there that's showing some global weakness. What could that be? We'll be right back. Then we'll talk about some good companies in this environment right now. This is the Best Stocks Now show. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. And welcome back to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show, where we have got, let's see, how is the market doing here right now? About the same. Mixed market. The Dow's taken off a little bit. It's up 79. NASDAQ is down 36. Oh, look at this. Yahoo Finance makes Novo Nordisk their company of the year. How about that? That's been one of our biggest holdings. We like the weight loss drug story. I'm seeing evidence. You know, I've seen a lot of stars out there that have lost a lot of weight recently. My wife was pointing out a few. She says all of a sudden, I think Kelly Clarkson was one.
My wife said the same thing.
Yeah, there was somebody else.
No offense to Kelly Clarkson.
But there was another one, Adele or something like that.
Right.
And all of a sudden they're showing up skinny. Well, I have friends that have done the same thing. All right, now, back to this China story. One other big factor here that is definitely pointing to weakness in China is the price of oil. Okay, they're the biggest consumer of oil, or second biggest in the world. Oil remains very soft. Soft prices on oil. The energy sector was one of the worst. If you look at the ETFs that are energy-based, they were up a couple of percent this year. Most of them, you know, some of them were even down. The only ones that did well, the MLPs, that's the Master Limited Partnerships, the pipelines, they were up about 17%
and they're more interest rate sensitive because they are, you know, they're a quote unquote dividend payer, right? And as interest rates go down or interest rate expectations go down, right, those cash flows are worth more. So that has a huge reason as to, you know, why those pieces of same thing with income-producing real estate, right?
And the other big performers, we list the top 10 performing energy stocks. Two of them are coal-based stocks. Coal had a terrific year, and so did uranium. UEC was up 70% for the year. All right, okay, now let's move to NVIDIA again. Tencent is going to try to get Chinese, of course, Tencent is a Chinese company, but they have got a chip that they claim could fill in for NVIDIA's chip. So they're trying to get some business. And, of course, last week, if you look at last week, the two stocks of the week for me were AMD by far, which was up 10% after they announced their initiatives in AI. AMD is one of our largest holdings. And then Alphabet had a big update. Google had a big update on their initiative with their Gemini AI. That's one of the 18 stocks we own in our premier growth portfolio. Okay, the deal of the day. Macy's gets a $5.8 billion offer to be taken private. So it seems to me like you're basically buying the name, the brand. To me, I think that Macy's, and they have been doing this, but they're not seeing any results from it yet. Building smaller outlets in smaller, you know, shopping malls as compared to the big mega malls. But, you know, everything they're doing is not working. Year to date, Macy's shares are down 14%. Their sales continue to decline. So all of a sudden, they've got an offer here to take the two companies, Arkhouse Management and Brigade Capital Management. Well, Barry, you know, is this another, you know, Sears? Eddie Lampert tried to take Sears private and then brought it. It didn't work out. I mean, it's all I know is when one day I was going to put a little gas in my boat and Eddie Lampert's yacht was parked there. It's a mega yacht. Somehow he did okay in that whole Sears transaction.
Yeah, I'm always wary of these, and I'll give you a quick reason why. I think it was JCPenney, right? Whenever JCPenney got, you know, group came in and saved it. Reason the group came in and saved it is that they had a lot of exposure to malls in general, and so a lot of these mall contract. So if you're a smaller store inside of a mall, your out clause on your rental agreement is if, you know, the anchor store, right, leaves, well, then you can go ahead and get out of your lease. And so a lot of these things, what would happen is they kept JCPenney alive, essentially, right, in other words, so all these other folks would have to keep their leases also, right? And so in doing that, you know, it's really, you know, it's almost like you're making an investment, quote unquote, in Macy's, right, to maybe save some other investment. And so it's always hard to kind of determine what is the reasoning behind it. And usually what happens is the people who end up making the money are the people who do the deal.
Yeah. And all the commissions.
Yeah. And your small stores inside the mall, right? They're actually the ones who end up, getting the short end of the stick, in those examples. But
Macy's is still pretty much the anchor tenant these days at most of these big malls. So anyway.
The ones that are still surviving, the ones that have still survived, right?
I'm not running out and buying any Macy's stocks. There's going to be some earnings today. We're going to get Oracle. That's a pretty big one. Oracle's got some AI exposure. Wednesday's Adobe. One of the great stocks of all time. Adobe's got some AI exposure. Thursday, Costco will be reporting their earnings. And then on Friday, Darden Restaurants, Olive Garden, etc., will be reporting their earnings. Okay, they're going to kick some stocks out of the NASDAQ 100. It's happening today, okay? Here's who's getting kicked out. Align Technology, which was one of the great stocks. We owned it for a long time with their Invisalign. It totally disrupted the orthodontics industry. eBay's getting kicked out. eBay was a game changer. It was a disruptive stock, but, you know, and then that just kind of didn't have any more to disrupt, I guess. Enphase is getting kicked out. That's the solar stocks. You talk about the energy stocks underperforming. The solar stocks got clobbered this year. JD.com, a Chinese stock, is getting kicked out. Lucid Group, that's a wannabe EV with a lot of backing from Saudi Arabia. And the stock that was in the right place at the right time but hasn't done much since, Zoom. Zoom is getting kicked out. What are the additions? Well, a sign of the times, DoorDash, getting added to the NASDAQ 100. You know, I always thought, where's the money? Where's the profit in a company that just delivers Happy Meals? You know, but they deliver a little bit of everything, and it has actually become a pretty profitable, good growth company. Other additions, CDW, they sell kind of wholesale computer equipment. MongoDB, which is a cloud stock. Roper Technologies and Splunk. Kind of weird they put Splunk in. Splunk is getting bought out by Cisco. So anyway, Zoom is the big one. Zoom went Zoom, and then it went plop. And now it's getting kicked out of the NASDAQ 100. Now, more Dallas buzz, okay? We read a few weeks ago that Las Vegas Sands, his widow buying the Dallas Mavericks. Now there's buzz that they're going to build a casino in Dallas.
Got to get approvals or get the laws changed in the state. But that's kind of the end game, right?
Well, that sounds like they had a plan there. Okay, mm-hmm. They purchased 100 acres of land near the old Texas Stadium site in the suburb of Irving. So anyways, Las Vegas Sands has, has ambitions to open a casino. I think that's an uphill battle in Texas, but who knows? On the old, near the old Dallas Cowboys site. Preet files for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. You know what? It's been a tough year for the REITs. A tough year for the REITs. And a lot of these ones, you know, Preet is probably one that was a private REIT, non-traded REIT that finally went public, and now it's filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy the second time. It's a shopping center REIT. I'm not a fan of REITs in the interest rate environment we're in right now, and the changing demographics, which has been moving away from downtown office buildings and bricks and mortars for a long, long time.
NVIDIA, if adding DoorDash to the NASDAQ 100 tells you anything, right?
Yeah, that makes sense. And Macy's in big trouble. NVIDIA eyes production base in Vietnam. Okay, when we come back, I'm going to take a dive underneath the market here. You got to put on your wetsuit this time of year. The water's a little chilly. And see what is working, okay? Where's the right place right now? We'll be right back. But a mother, you're the wrong line. I've been on the right trail, but a mother, you're the wrong call. Hit us in a bad place, and I wonder what it's good for. And welcome back here to the second or the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. If you'd like to set up an appointment with us, you know, we don't take weeks off or anything like that. In the December holiday, someone's always here, man in the fort. You can call us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. And our next road trip will be down to Sarasota. Sometime there in January. We got to get that on the calendar. And then we plan on hitting Bloomfield Hills again, Minnesota again this year. Hopefully we can venture out to Cleveland, Houston. So looking forward to another fun year in the market. It's a weird day in the market. It's kind of the haves and have-nots. Because of the Macy's interest, Macy's is up 19.2% today. Of course, that's just below the price that they're offering to take Macy's. I think Macy's is going to take the offer, really. I don't think... My opinion, the reason I say that is because everything they've tried has not worked, and they may just be saying, let someone else try to save this. Once, you know, dominant department store franchise... Okay, Cigna's up 16%.
As long as they keep the parade. We got to keep the parade.
Yeah,
They need to write that into the contract, I hope.
Yeah, unless they go BK, you know.
The Amazon Day Parade is just not doesn't have the same ring to it.
Well, they can deliver packages along the way as they're going down. What about what is going on with Cigna today? There's something I have not had time to look into this. I know there was talk about Cigna combining with not CVS, but I think Walgreens. That must be happening today because I see that stock up 16% today. Okay, I'm just going to type in Cigna here and Seeking Alpha, where I hope to get an article out for them this week. It's a tough time of year. Humana and Cigna, unlikely union, but that was... 2 weeks ago. I don't see any news on it today, but there has to be. Yeah, oh, I see an upgrade. Okay, by Jefferies. All right, whatever. Now, a couple of gambling stocks. Penn's up 6.5%. The tech stock of the day for me is Broadcom, and that's one of our largest positions because we own it in our dividend portfolio. Wow, look at that chart on Broadcom, Barry. That is impressive. And, you know, I did notice, too, Broadcom reported earnings last week. And Broadcom moved way up in rank in the BestStocksNowApp.com. It's in like the top 20 or so out of 5,500. And, you know, Broadcom we own in the Premier Growth. That's one of the 18 we own. And we own it in the Dividend and Growth because it's a dividend player. That's the stock of the day.
It looks like that's an all-time high, I believe.
Yep.
It is. On the edge if it's not already.
No, it is by 9 points. That is a solid, solid breakout in Broadcom. Now, I'm just going to look it up in the Best Stocks Now app here. Oh, I don't have it open right now. But I know it's... it's 75% upside potential over the next 5 years. So it's still in line with, we like 75% or more upside potential, and now you've got a breakout in that stock. That's a happy day. Okay, and there was another one that caught my eye. AMD catches my eye again today. That is. Look at that breakout again in AMD at 4.6%. Man, I'm telling you, that has been good to us. Okay, now... a couple others, it was Lam Research was the other one, which is a dividend-paying tech stock. That's a beautiful breakout of 4.4. Now, on the downside is Meta. I don't know what's wrong with Meta today, down 3%. NVIDIA is down 2.7%.
Yeah, Lam's
today.
Hitting, it looks like an all-time high, too, today, by the way.
I know. Beautiful. These are beautiful breakouts. And Google's down 2% today. So it's kind of the haves and have-nots today in the market. But, boy, I would just say the stock of the day from a tech point of view is Broadcom. The symbol there is AVGO. And I am going to look this up and see where it was ranked because that caught my eye this morning, how much it has gone up in rank in the newly remodeled and beautiful BestStocksNowApp.com, which we're getting some real positive feedback on it. Where is Broadcom ranked? I'm trying to do this real quickly here. We'll go to the search there. Keep talking there, Barry.
No, yeah, we got.
Closed it by. Okay,
yeah,
well, anyway.
The interesting thing is, you've got AVGO, you've got Broadcom,
AMD.
You got Lam, both of those at an all time high. And the reason why you own both of those chip makers between AMD and NVIDIA is NVIDIA is down a couple percent today. Of course, AMD is keeping their hot streak going.
And yeah,
in this kind of environment, you almost want to be on. Have all your bases covered, right?
Well, I'm going to give you one more here that is really impressive, and this one is a recent buy, maybe 2 months ago. Look at Hilton today. HLT, which we purchased in both the Premier Growth portfolio and the Dividend portfolio.
Probably about a month ago, within the last month.
Yes, and it is rocketing higher today, headquartered in McLean, Virginia.
That's another all-time high, by the way.
Yeah, we've been watching these vacation stocks. It seems like the economy is doing okay here. Booking.com has been breaking out. The cruise ships, Norwegian Cruise Lines, Hilton. Wow, that's a massive breakout on Hilton today. So we're having a pretty good day here, other than the three or four that are down a couple of percentage points. All right, to get the newsletter coming to your inbox every Saturday morning, unless Constant Contact has an issue, it might be Monday morning. That's the first time that's happened in a long time. You go to GundersonCapital.com for 2 free weeks of the newsletter that will keep you or strive to keep you in the center of the action, wherever it may or may not be, okay? Now, obviously, the emerging market's not a good place to be, have not been a good place to be, as China is has a big weighting in the emerging markets. We've kept you out of these areas that are trouble right now, and we've got our ear to the ground really closely watching for sector rotation as we get ready to turn the page on a new year. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or get the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.